This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyik. My Sejahtera, My Trace, Selangka, these are among the apps that are available to help manage the COVID-19 outbreak in Malaysia. They each work in different ways and perform different functions, but it can be confusing if you're trying to figure out which app you should download, especially amid concerns about privacy, data security, and efficacy. So I'm speaking to Dr. Helmi Zakaria today. He's a member of the Selangor Task Force on COVID-19, and he's going to help us unpack all these apps, especially Selangka, which he has been directly involved in, and to look at how all these apps play a role in helping us to deal with the pandemic. How are you today, Dr. Helmi?
Thank you very much for having me here. I'm good.
Dr. Helmi, many countries now have some form of a contact tracing app for COVID-19. Singapore, Australia, UK, China, India, just to name a few, and Malaysia also has followed suit. Can you start by explaining the principle behind using contact tracing apps, you know, the idea of using digital technology for this, and then we can talk about how each of our contact tracing apps work.
All right. Well, thank you very much. But I think it will be beneficial that before we go straight into contact tracing app, let's first take a step back and let's analyze the issue of contact tracing. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So we know that contact tracing, this is a trusted and tested method in containing an outbreak, right? To the uninitiated, what contact tracing entails is actually, in its most rudimentary form, this is an interviewing a patient about who he or she has been in contact with during the period of the illness, right? So if you imagine, in its manual interview phone call form, this method is quite feasible for medium or slow spreading disease like tuberculosis, or for disease that is so severe in its form that when patient is infected, they'll almost be bedridden, yeah? For example, Ebola. Why? Well, simply because if the disease is slow to progress, or when the patient is not moving and not infecting others as much, we do have the luxury of time, and therefore manual interview remain feasible. So what we are facing today, this is a pandemic of certain character. First is the speed. You see that COVID-19 become a pandemic in a matter of few months. Second is the transmission dynamic. This is the disease that spread through respiratory droplets. Those symptomatic can still walk around and therefore like they can infect others. And we also have a well-documented cases of asymptomatic carriers. And the third one is the fact that this is a long-haul pandemic where we cannot afford to remain indoor for indeterminate time. So I think specifically in the COVID-19 pandemic, right, it is crucial that we invest in a novel method of contact tracing, something that can outpace the virus speed and something that can help us, especially when we start reopening our economy again and people become mobile again. And this is where e-tracing comes in. So I like to term it e-tracing, or, you know, when you leverage on technology to do contact tracing. Mm-hmm. And the idea of e-tracing is simple. It still goes back to the principle of contact tracing, whether we can have a solution to know who were in contact with who at a certain period of time in a certain setting, so that we can reach out to those people who have been exposed. It's just like if previously we have a manual phone call form, nowadays we leverage on something more sophisticated in the need to actually outpace the virus spread.
So does this mean that e-tracing replaces that manual form?
To some extent, yes. Yeah. You see, so there are two phases when it comes to contact tracing. Like the first phase of contact tracing is actually building up the list. You know, for example, if I'm sick, the first stage of contact tracing is to build a list of people who are in contact with over the last 14 days. The second phase of contact tracing is to reach out to these people. And usually the challenge that is being faced by our frontliners at the moment is in the first phase, to build up the contact list itself. For example, it is quite easy to ask you, if one is sick, it's quite easy to ask you who are your household members or who you work with, right? But it is definitely a challenge if I were to ask you like, hey, you've been on a certain flight yesterday. For example, from Tawau to Kuala Lumpur, can you name me the passengers that are sitting next to you or the passengers sitting in front of you? So this is usually the challenge of contact tracing, which is firstly in building the list On the second part is obviously to reach out to them. And I think on the mechanism to reach out to these people who have been exposed, we should give some space and some flexibility to the medical personnel or to the health personnel of how they would like to initiate it. So different countries have different approach. Some countries, for example, rely on medical personnel or health personnel to really give them a phone call so that the interaction probably would be more human. I mean, you're going to break quite a news here. Mm-hmm. Yeah? You're going to tell people that, hey, you have been exposed to COVID-19. Some other country, I think because of the volume, number of people that they need to reach out, they rely on solutions such as instant messaging or SMS text.
So that's the idea why contact tracing is important in a public health crisis like this and how it works in principle. So now, in Malaysia at least, we have at least three different apps that has been touted to be part of this sort of environment. There's MyTrace, there's MySejahtera, and there's Selangkah. Could you explain the different methods used for each of these apps?
Well, I think different forms of e-tracing app have been developed, right? And it's not necessarily be an app. It can be any solution. So if you look into it, like the QR code tracing mechanism, such as Selangkah, it's not only Selangkah, there are others out there, right, have a different modalities. Yeah, so we see that different form of e-tracing solution that have been developed, they rely on different kind of technology. So some, for example, rely on GPS technology. This would allow the health authority to know about when and where they have been at a particular point of time. Usually, it require people to express their consent whether they were in a certain point of time at a certain place, right? There are also other solutions that relies on Bluetooth as a contact mechanism. And this Bluetooth as a contact mechanism, it would log only about who and when. This is also quite an ingenious solution because for some people who doesn't want their movement or their whereabout to be traced, right? This is not particularly and pertinent point in contact tracing. You remember the question of contact tracing that I was mentioning before? It was more about who you were exposed. For us, it doesn't really matter whether you were exposed in a shop, in a house, in an office, or whatnot. So yes, the solution that relies on Bluetooth contact mechanism as MyTrace does have its ingenuity. And I think it can offer some advantage because people can switch it on and you can forget about it. There are also some other solutions, like the Selangkah itself, that actually has the advantage in its simplicity to be deployed. Because it leverages on QR code, it has a lower entry barrier. It means like people don't particularly need to download an app if they don't have the app in the first place, right? It's able to capture only the most pertinent of data to be used for contact tracing. It also gives this, assurance to the public that, hey, we only need to know your whereabouts in a public space or when you're doing an activity that involves being in contact with the other member of the society. And usually this kind of activity tied up to an economic activity or when you're working, right? So it gives assurance to people that we are not necessarily surveying on you continuously all the time. If only at a certain place of time, at a certain part of time, for a direct purpose of COVID-19 tracing. However, I would like to emphasize that neither one of these e-tracing solutions can be the panacea, not all. All of them have its pros and cons in terms of accuracy, reliability, technology barrier, and society comfort level and uptake, right? So what we need to provide to the society, I think, would be an options, you know? Definitely, it would be an option for them, like to take up which of them. It will also be good to see that all of this will be integrated because regardless of the form of e-tracing, I think one advantage it will provide to our frontliners is in the terms of speed and timeliness. And this is the key improvement in leveraging technology for contact tracing. So you see, to follow the WHO mantra, you have test early, isolate early, and treat early. However, it's not easy to test early if you don't know who need to be tested. So I think this is how we can leverage on e-tracing.
Then would you say that in the interest, in a public health interest, in almost national interest, that it's imperative for everyone, if they have the means, to be part of this kind of e-tracing methods?
Yes, I think the idea of cooperative traceability, right? This is the idea of cooperative traceability for societal well-being. If you think about it, this is not really entirely new. The idea of traceability, while probably arguably different from constant surveillance, it also points out to a collective right where one member of the society is willing to cooperate with each other in order to survive or to prosper. One where the collective well-being for the society actually outweighed certain individual right or the need for personal privacy. So I argue that peer-to-peer e-tracing initiative actually falls under this category. And why? Because, like I mentioned earlier, the idea of cooperative traceability for societal well-being isn't entirely new. This is actually the reason why we allow CCTV to be operated, if you think about it. It's also why we register at the guardhouse when we're entering our friend's condominium, right? And it's also why we even have our national identity card in the first place, actually. So in this pandemic, because we face a peculiar type of enemy, one that is invisible, that is stealth, and it cut across societal or ideological distinction, we need a new tracing tool that can outsmart and outpace the COVID-19. And I believe e-tracing is one of our arsenal to the problem. It will allow us to return to some degree to the civil society on their freedom to move, while also allow us to keep the COVID-19 spread within the community in check.
Okay, we'll go for a quick break now, but when we come back, I'd like to look at one additional method that's being used, which I feel it goes a little bit beyond just the tracing aspect of this. It's also about monitoring your health status, and I think that would be how you would explain or how you would describe the MySejahtera app, as well as the apps that many other countries are also starting to use as well. And also, I guess there's still lots of concerns about security, privacy. How do you sort of manage that line between surveillance and, as you said, you know, cooperative traceability? I'd just like to unpack that a little bit more when we come back. So on the line with me is Dr. Helmi Zakaria, a member of the Selangor Task Force on COVID-19. He's also specializing in digital epidemiology. So he's helping us to understand the use of contact tracing or e-tracing apps. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living. I'm T. Xiao Yik. On the line with me is Dr. Helmi Zakaria, a member of the Selangor Task Force on COVID-19. Dr. Helmi is also specializing in digital epidemiology, and he is speaking to us today to help us understand how contact tracing apps work. We're hearing so much about them. Malaysia has at least three different apps, two from the government, MyTrace and MySejahtera. There's also Selangkah from the Selangor State Government. Each work in different ways, using different methods to help the authorities to monitor and manage the COVID-19 outbreak. So, Dr. Helmi, walk me through this. You've talked about apps that use our location data to help sort of identify where we've been at that location. You've also mentioned about apps that use Bluetooth technology, and I understand they're called Bluetooth handshakes. So one device with a Bluetooth connects with another Bluetooth-enabled device that has the same app.
Yes.
And so that is where that contact is identified, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I believe that's how MyTrace works.
Exactly.
Yeah. And of course, Selangkah is based on using a QR code, so you don't need to download the app as such. It's actually about scanning the QR code at a particular retail outlet or a business premise that you visit. And so that registers that you have visited that place. What about my sujatra, Dr. Helmi? I think that's quite different from what you've been describing so far.
Exactly. So my sujatra, I think the main attraction point of my sujatra that it is not only solve the issue of contact tracing, but it has a lot more features within it. So it have a features of basically becoming a portal to the citizen, and it have this function of health advisory. It become a official channel of communication for people to distinguish whether the news they are reading out there is accurate or whether they are malicious news being circulated around. So it does have this advantage. It also have the advantage of people would be able to declare on their health status, and if people declare their health status, whether that may or may not trigger some sort of flag from the health authority to reach out to them, right? So I think it's a good solution, and I think people who basically have the capacity to download those and would be comfortable to download those, I do implore them to download this app. It solves other things that might not be necessarily addressed by other contact tracing solutions. Yeah? But what does other contact tracing solution offers is that very basic pertinent point, contact tracing.
Mm.
Yeah?
Mm.
So you see, some solutions, for example, it requires not only a high degree of user interaction, but it also requires that the model of a mobile phone that is in the client possession will be something that can cater to that application. It requires, in the first place, for people to actually download it. Yeah? It requires people to voluntarily download the app. It requires people to voluntarily switch on the app. So, for example, you and me, if I were in some place but I didn't switch on the GPS function in my sujatra, or I didn't switch on the Bluetooth features on my mobile phone in my trace, not because any malicious intent, simply because I probably forget about it, or simply probably because my battery phone is draining low.
Yes.
And I decided not to. And this actually will create a barrier. And assuming that if I'm positive, I was in certain place, I was trying to conserving my phone battery, and therefore the entire contact tracing mechanism would not be as effective. Yeah? It is also, on another hand, to be sure the other member of the society is participating on this initiative, right? I mean, you can't really look into my phone. If I were to enter into a premise, you can't look into my phone and ask me like, hey, are you downloading the app? Like, I mean, are you switching on the features, right? I mean, that would make me obviously uncomfortable.
What I'm hearing from you is the very important idea that the public has to buy in. It's a voluntary basis right now. I have to be invested enough in the idea that what I'm doing will contribute to the greater public health good. But will there come a point, if the crisis peaks even further, will there come a point where compulsion will be necessary and where it will cross over into, you know, real surveillance at that point?
Right. I think to answer this question, right, people would have to see this introspectively, right? I mean, if this pandemic is equivalent to a war, and how does the member of society would contribute to the effort of war, you know, in one way or another? So you understand that our frontliners have put in so much effort. They have been risking themselves. I also like to trust and believe in the spirit of camaraderie that is quite well known among Malaysians, right? How each one of us would like to contribute in our own way. So rather than looking at it whether it is a trade-off, right, I would like to again emphasize that this is basically a cooperative traceability effort.
Mm-hmm.
It allows people to contribute in a way that I've never been before. And I don't think this is something that is very contentious already, because we know, for example, contact tracing, and I think this need to be emphasized again and again, right? That contact tracing is really not new.
Mm-hmm.
It is not new because it is already synonymous in our everyday activity. Yeah, like we have this thing called visitor's log. When you come to my office, I will ask you to, hey, can you put in your name on the guest log book? if you go to a certain meeting, you put in on the attendance list. If you go to certain course, likewise. So this is just an effort of putting it together, digitalizing it, so that it actually helps our frontliners to do their contact tracing work more efficiently.
Do we have evidence to show that the e-tracing or the contact tracing apps have worked in increasing that list that you can build, you know, and therefore increasing the number of tests that we can do?
Right. Well, I can't really say about the other solution, and I probably can only quote in terms of Sri Lanka, right? And I would like to share you some results, right? So about 28,000 and more premises have been registered, not only in Selangor but actually nationwide. And out of this, about 800,000 users have been registering on the platform, and we have checked in about 2.3 million login and logout. And we are opening up this initiative because what we are creating, if you think about it, is a data leak that should be able to be tapped by the relevant authority. So we have been opening up the access to Sri Lanka for health personnel, public health personnel, not only in Malaysia, but also in the near future. The moment we know that certain premises in some states are enrolling in it, then we immediately offer the state health department from that particular state to actually have access to Sri Lanka. Now, to answer your question, whether we have any evidence, yeah? So at least for Sri Lanka, in the recent days, we have identified two cases that unfortunately happened in a place of a residential building. Yeah? So from our map distribution, we can see that, okay, patient one and patient two happen to live in building A and building B. And at the same time, we also see that building A and building B is actually a place of high frequency visitors log in. So we know that people here have a lot more chances to be exposed, right? There are higher probability of them being exposed, given the fact that they will share the same facilities, they share the same elevators and whatnot. So yeah, from this effort, we have managed to reach out to all the residents that use the Sri Lanka solution, and to reach out to them like, hey, you might have been exposed, depending on where you are, at what time you are, whether you are in direct contact of the sick patient at that point of time, then we can initiate the proper contact tracing pathway.
Can we quickly address the concerns? And I know you've covered it within the bigger umbrella of cooperative traceability, right? That we are all part of this. But nonetheless, we still want to know, how do the apps protect our privacy?
I believe that for every solution, right, they have a standard safeguard mechanism in place. So for example, all the database that where your data is being stored and located, usually they have been encrypted. They have put some cybersecurity measure around it, right? So this is the first, that is the most pertinent point, whether that data is safe, right? In terms of privacy, I think every solution have its own pro and cons. Yeah? There are some principle that we want to look at, right? So number one, whether those solutions, what is built in them, like whether they are simple enough. When I say simple, whether the kind of data that is being collected is minimized. So this is one of the principles in a digital health solution. So it have to be simple, that we should minimize the data collection only to those that is needed purely for contact tracing. And if you ask me, I would err on the fact that we only need phone number, date and timestamp. Yeah? There's no reason to collect more than what is needed. Right? So for example, I don't know, like I used to work in the tuberculosis contact tracing environs during my time in the Ministry of Health. And for example, I would be very thankful if I got a phone number, but if I get an IC number, that simply means nothing to me. It's not I can reach out to anyone with IC number. Mm-hmm. So we reduce the data collection to a bare minimum. The other part is whether those data that is being collected, whether it is synonym with our day-to-day activity, right? So, I mean, like, if you go some barbershop here, I know I miss barbershop. They have not been open for some time. So, yeah, I mean, if I go to barbershop, in order for me to get my queue or in order for me to reserve my slot, even in the restaurant, I'll be more than happy to give my name and my phone number, right? This is some sort of something that the society have already accept as a fact of life. Leaving phone number and name is is acceptable to some level in exchange. So, in terms of privacy, so for example, I know in the Bluetooth solution, their advantage point is the fact that they don't basically track the positioning of people, right? And for other solution, in order for them to address privacy, is simply by getting the individual consent beforehand, right? I mean, like, hey, we are going to do this. If you consent to it, then therefore, you know, in exchange of your safety and well-being. Yeah.
But when it comes to giving phone numbers, there are concerns that even that could be mined for commercial purposes, right? I mean, we're used to having our phone numbers being sold to marketeers, which is actually unethical, illegal, and it then causes a burden to the public. Is this a valid concern?
Yeah, actually, it is a very valid concern. And this is actually one of the biggest pain point that I had to address when I was thinking about how are we going to have a QR-based contact tracing solution that is efficient. So you see, just to recap on all the 5 points and the principle that I put into Selangkah when I was building up the app is that number one, it must be synonym. It must be something that of day-to-day activity. Number two, it must be simple. The data collection is simple. Number three is secure, that we must put in similar cyber security measures. It has to be separated. When I say it's separated, it must be able to work without any app. I mean, if people are not willing to download certain solution, right? And the fifth and the most important part is that it must be sovereign. Yeah. And for me, I think in order to preserve the non-commercial nature of the Selangkah initiative, it has to be by far that the ownership, the final ownership of the data should rely finally with the government. Because we know that we like to be assured that the entity that was holding the data and the final ownership of the data doesn't have any commercial interest at heart. And that is where sometimes it can clash. Like, for example, in terms of MyTrace, in terms of Bluetooth app, right? This is also owned by the government. And I think it's an ingenious solution. And we see, for example, the technology company of the world, the Google and Apple of the world, now they are coming up with their own solution that I hope doesn't constrict the policy space of the national government. And it also becomes like whether we would have to 100% follow their recipe, knowing that they have the market monopoly in terms of mobile phone, right? So it is also to preserve what I call the national policy space. And therefore, I think whatever trace solution, and it is my belief, whatever e-tracing solution, be it my suggester, be it my trace, or be it Selangkah, the final ownership of the data need to rely finally with the government.
Okay. Can we also address the idea of digital access? Even in developed countries like the UK, the government there has to deal with issues like many people lacking internet access, not having sufficient technology skills. Many are also non-native English speakers. And so over there, they are having the conversation about whether if the public health interest is served by the digital technology, would that lead to inequities? So if we were to look at digital access and also language issues here in Malaysia, how do you see this being a challenge here?
Exactly. And I think it is a challenge. It remains a challenge. And this is basically one of the topics that I've been discussed in Chatham House before about digital access and health inequality. So we do run a risk of if we rely only solely on e-tracing solution as a method of contact tracing, we do run a risk of health inequalities. You know, there are some people that doesn't even have an infrastructure in place. There are some people that probably would not be able to even uptake the solution because of different technological barrier. And I think, like I mentioned previously, e-tracing app is not the panacea, but it is a good effort to complement other mechanism of contact tracing, especially when we talk about high-density movement or in a place, for example, in the urban setting where social density is higher as opposed to a rural setting, right? We must take into consideration that some of them cannot update this solution. And therefore, when it is designed, there must be an in place what are the other alternatives for them, whether those systems, for example, I remember MySejahtera have an ability to register their dependent, right? And this is important, if they can register their dependent on a matter. Some others, for example, have the ability, if you don't have a smartphone, whether you can register your attendance by simply using SMS, right? And in a more, in a way smaller setting, like for example, where people live a bit more sparse, like for example, in a village setting or in a rural area, I must emphasize the need for community leaders to be engaged in contact tracing. Nobody knows the setting on the ground, especially in those areas, better than the community leaders. And therefore, the community leaders must be on board in terms of contact tracing initiative. But when it comes to settings like the urban setting, where population are more fluid, where people don't necessarily know who are their neighbors in that condos, and I think this is where e-tracing app can fill in the gap.
Okay. Dr. Helmi, can we get a key takeaway message from you about the role of e-tracing solutions within the strategy of, you know, trace early and test early?
I think some key takeaway message is that firstly is how in terms of contact tracing, right? Contact tracing, although it's a true and tested method across all the disease, all infectious disease, the challenge become there when the person that need to be contact is not really obvious, right? So for example, in terms of COVID pandemic 19, you see like 80% of people, I mean, in some reports, they have been shown that 80% of people are asymptomatic, right? So you don't necessarily would know whether you are exposed to asymptomatic people because you simply can't see the symptom, right? So the first key takeaway is like we need to err on the cautious side. And one of the way we can do that is basically by joining the contact tracing initiative in the spirit of cooperative traceability. And when we are doing this, we are not only protecting ourselves as an individual, but we also protect premises. For example, in terms of Sri Lanka, you have a QR scanner, so it actually allows the premise owner to know whether their space has been exposed, whether sanitization can take place. Yeah? On another hand, it really, really helped the frontliners' effort to come up with the contact tracing list. I've been there, I work in the tuberculosis, and usually the standard or the benchmark that we desire is like for one patient, for us to have 10 contacts. And even in a disease that is more ancient, like tuberculosis, this can be hard to be attained, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the key takeaway message is that this is a new kind of outbreak. It is quite invisible in such a way, if I may say so, if you like. And therefore, one of the ways that we can do this is by actually joining the contact tracing initiative so that it will actually ease everyone's effort in containing the outbreak.
Thank you very much, Dr. Helmi. I've been speaking to Dr. Helmi Zakaria. He specializes in digital epidemiology, and he's a member of the Selangor Task Force on COVID-19, where he's really been very key in developing the Selangka solution. We've been discussing e-tracing or contact tracing apps in our fight against the COVID-19 pandemic. You've been listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.